Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for tonight. We bless your name. We've come to worship, to honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace in this house. Thank you for your ever-abiding presence. Thank you for your word. For you sent your word, and your word heals us. Thank you for strength. Thank you for increased capacity in our lives, even in this season. Thank you for bringing us into a new season, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you for your word. Expressly, you teach us your word, and our hearts are blessed. Our lives are transformed. Glory to you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, quickly, we'll be looking at God's word. And I really did not have a title for this, but just for, you can say, why prayer? Why prayer? Or live a life of prayer? Or why prayer? Hallelujah. Prayer actually is a requirement for living a life of success, if we must. Amen. It's a requirement for success in life. From what we learn from the scriptures, we are not counted amongst those who just live life aimlessly, beating the air aimlessly, like we don't know what to do. No, we know what to do. We know what to do. And that's why we live a life of prayer. Hallelujah. That's why we live a life of prayer. First of all, let's see the book of Psalms chapter 55. Psalms 55. Psalm 55, verse 16. We'll look at 16 to 23. He says, this was David talking. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Hallelujah. That means things could be happening to people. Like if you look at verse 15, let's go back. Just go back a little bit. You see, he says, let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling. Another version says, for wickedness is in their camp. It's in their dwellings and among them. He said, but as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old. Because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's prayer from David. I've often said that David has a way of praying. Sometimes I look at David in the Old Testament and I look at Paul in the New Testament and I wonder how people just stay and cannot pray. If you say, let us pray, some people will start singing. Singing is good. There's nothing bad with singing, but there is a place of prayer. There's a place for prayer. Hallelujah. And no amount of singing you do that time for prayer will take the place of prayer. Hallelujah. So David has a way of pulling God's hand against the enemy. He has this way of calling on God and moving his hand against the enemy in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. We'll see Philippians chapter 4 also. Philippians 4. So we're looking also at the New Testament. Philippians 4 from verse 6 to 9. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, another version says, if there be any reward, meditate on these things. 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul speaking there also of mentorship. The things you see me do, these things do. Meaning he's saying, do not do anything outside what you see me do. Because a tendency to do expressly what is wrong, what is opposite of what is good, the tendency to do a bad thing, a wrong thing, something that you are misled to do, something you are wrongfully influenced to do, the tendency is there. But if you follow good examples, if you follow light, if you follow shepherds, the set men, and people who are before you, you will never go wrong. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a very short part of the scripture that we use all the time. It says, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. No wonder Paul could say to the people that, I pray more than ye all. I pray in tongues more than ye all. That means every time this guy is praying, every time he's praying, whether he's walking, under his breath, he's praying. Is it really possible for us to live a life, a prayerful life like that? Yes. But I could be very, very busy. Yes, you can still pray while doing what you're doing. Amen. Yes, you can pray. So Paul prays all the time. And he's admonishing us, pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. Why would he ask or admonish us to pray at all times? It means that if you pray all the time, the possibility to live always in the realm of the power, in the realm of the supernatural is there. Praise the Lord. I remember one of the conventions we attended, that was like 4 or 5 years ago. It's one of the emphasis Pastor Bijay was talking about. I also saw it boldly written in the church. And it says, he's talking about admonishing people to live naturally in the supernatural. That the supernatural should be our natural state of doing things, our natural state of affairs, our natural state of living life. Perpetually in the supernatural. And let it become our natural state. Hallelujah. Remember that in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Let's just look at that. It's also talking about prayer. Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you look at that 19, you see the reason why we are also meant to pray. Because we also have the opportunity to pray for our leaders, our spiritual leaders, people who lead us. Paul was talking there and he said that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The more we pray for them, the more they do the work, the more their efficacy, the more their capacity is increased, and they do more of God's work, and they are raising godly soldiers, godly army in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we are taking territories and taking nations for Christ. Amen. So we pray for them. We pray also for the ministers who will be ministering even at the convention. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our spiritual leaders. Very, very important. In the place of prayer, there's so much you can do. There's little of the physical help you can give to people, but there's so much of the spiritual help you can give, because prayer, you don't need, from where you are in your cocoon, you can pray. You can pray and reach out to someone who is abroad. You can pray and reach out to someone who is in Sambisa. You can pray and reach out to someone who is entirely in another part of the globe without barrier. Hallelujah. But if you want to do, if it's something that requires physical help, you are limited. Somebody is in Kano and you are in Lagos. You can't reach the person. There's little you can do. But prayer, there is no barrier. There's nothing that stops you from reaching out to people in the place of prayer. I've also heard series of testimonies from great evangelists and so many people who kept praying for people. They just took out names and started praying for people. And over time, they just see that these people turned their lives to Christ. Amen. I've also heard of people also who testified with their own mouth how either their mother or their father or somebody somewhere was praying for them consistently, nonstop, until they also had an encounter with God's light. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible also said in the book of John, chapter 15, from verse 7 to 8, it said, if you ask anything, you will get it. Ask anything. Ask anything. So the place of prayer gives us that opportunity to turn things around, to do things. We are sharing this because starting from tomorrow, we start fasting. If you are fasting, you are waiting, and you are not praying, you are only starving. Amen? You're only starving. So, fasting is not just abstaining from food. No. You get it wrong. Keeping away from anything that's a form of distraction that will not help your spirit align or connect. So as we fast, it's very, very important that we study God's word, like the Bible says in the book of Joshua 1:8. It said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So we study the word, we meditate on the word, we pray, we spend time praying. We spend time studying. We spend time meditating, praying God's word, praying the will of the Father. And we will see mighty results. Amen. We will see great manifestations. Because even this year's 21 days of power is absolutely, absolutely going to be different. It's on another level entirely. Amen. Yes, and we will see great manifestation. Great manifestations. Great and mighty miracles take place. Amen. So let's be intentional. Let's do it with all seriousness. So you will ask and you will get whatever you ask. John 15, 7 to 8. Romans also, the book of Romans chapter 8, 26 to 39. If you read there, you'll see how he's talking about, especially if you read verse 18, verse 19, and verse 22, how he's talking about that the whole earth waits for our manifestation. Hallelujah. the whole earth wait earnestly for our, it's not something we do in the flesh, but it's something in the spirit. They wait for, okay, you know, if you've ever been where, let's assume somebody's sick or something happened. There's a person that they see coming and say, oh, thank God this person is here. That's what I'm talking about. Remember when in the book of John 11, when Jesus finally showed up at the house of Mary, Lazarus, and Martha, as soon as they saw that Jesus had come, what did they say? Oh, even though she said, if you had been here since Master, my brother would not have died. But he's happy that he came anyway. He said, nonetheless, you're here. They're happy that he came. So there's that person that shows up, everybody says, oh, thank God you are here. Now I know that. Even if though the person has not done it. So that's what we're talking about. There will be great manifestation because your presence does a whole lot. Your presence will go forth to do a whole lot. Solution is needed. You just show up. It's answer. That is answer. Amen. Hallelujah. And we should not shake it out. It's a time to showcase God's power. It's not you. It's God working through you. Like he said in Philippians 2:13, it's God working through you. Both to will and do of his good pleasure. God working through us. Hallelujah. There will be great manifestation. It could be in your place of work. It could be at home. It could be anywhere. I experienced one today. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think God does not move it. Even things that are inanimate objects. I experienced one today. As soon as I removed it, I had seen the mark and everything, but as soon as I removed it, that was when it hit Joseph and I said, oh God, how did you hold this thing together all these months? Just at the time we just removed it, boom. God is awesome. Hallelujah. Let's be intentional in this season because this season of prayer, we ought to be intuitive. We need to be sensitive because prayer empowers you. Prayer empowers you. It's a period. It's a season of empowerment. This season of prayer, God will empower us through prayers. Because it's a two-way thing. We talk to our Father. He talks back to us. If you have never had the opportunity of hearing from God before, in this season, do not miss it. He will speak to you if you are intentional about it. If you hunger for it. You see, anything that has to do with manifestations or gifts in the scriptures, God is willing to give it out through his spirit. But you must develop hunger for it. Hallelujah. A longing for it. If everybody comes out, people who have never spoken in tongues before, when they come out, it's out of that hunger, that deep hunger. Before you know it, they begin to speak. They begin to speak. They begin to manifest. Hallelujah. We will experience great manifestations in Jesus' name. In Matthew 21, 21 and 22, he also said it again, that whatever you ask in prayer, not doubting, you will get it. Mark 11, from 22 to 24, again, he also said it, that if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that you have what you say, you will have what you say. Hallelujah. Ask not doubting, getting. You will get it. Because in this time, this season of 21 days of power, we'll be doing a lot of prayers. We'll be doing a lot of prayer. Fine. Not all prayer will be about asking. We'll be thanking him. We'll be doing a whole lot. But I'm telling you that know in your mind for all certainty that whatever you pray, you get it. Whether you're praying for the sick, whether you're praying for anything, you get answers. God is not deaf. He said, my ears are not deaf. My hands are not shut that they cannot reach out to you. So he gives answers. When we pray with that assurance that yes, we get answers. He answers us. He hears us. When the Bible says, he will sit in the heavens, shall laugh. All this description, what do they tell you? That God is in the business of relating with his people. If I go to my Father, my earthly Father, there's a way I relate with him.
Ah, Popsy, what's up now? How you did? You know, I'm just with him. Ah, you come? Yes. How are you? I hope everybody's fine. I hope your mom is fine. Everything. We talk. How you doing? Ah, man, there was a time I saw, I went to see my dad. He was wearing a cowboy hat and was dressed in can and, like, you know, sporty, like somebody wants to go. Wow, Pale, you don't want to retire. I started, like, you know, almost, I was just cracking joke with him and making fun of him. I said, you teach me to be a small boy. That's how you dress. Now, we're supposed to dress like this. He said, ah, come on, we'll tell you, sir, I don't hold. Because the man don't want to hold. Hallelujah. And I was just talking with him like that. Fine. When you're talking with God, you can talk with God like you're talking to your father. What do I mean? Let God know how they do you. Hallelujah. It's not wrong. You are not confessing wrongly. Let him know. So he needs to know. Even though he knows, express yourself before your father. Amen. In this season of 21 days of power, there's a whole lot we will learn. In the place of prayer, lock yourself in your room. Stay in your room. It's not the time to cry. Cry not to do anything. Pray. Express yourself to your father. Hallelujah. Talk with him. As man and friend, talk with him. Talk with him. Relate with him. The Bible says that in the cool of the evening, he will come and, you know, to fellowship, to commune with Adam and Eve. God loves that. And since I found out that he loves that, it's something I try to do all the time. In the evening, I stay in one cool, even in the morning, midnight. I wake up most midnight and I go to the sitting room. I have this particular place where I love to sit. And I just commune with him. Like he's sitting in front of me, like I'm talking with him. We talk and I relate and I tell him, I don't like this. I don't want this. This is, I don't, I say the things I don't want. I say the things I want. I talk with him. And then after I finish, I study his word, hear what he has to say to me, and I pray. Hallelujah. The Father loves such. Amen. He said, if you do not doubt in your heart, you have all your prayers answered. You have whatever you say. And like Seth Man was teaching the other time, even if it does not exist, he will create it. Amen. I would love to see God create some things that had never existed before. For my sake. He said, for your sake. Hallelujah. God is our Father and we can talk with him. We can talk with him. We can talk to him. And freely express ourselves like we do our earthly Father. Praise the Lord. In this season, we'll develop intimacy with him. We'll develop intimacy with our Father. Praise God. And our prayer will become a two-way communication. We talk to him, he talks to us, and we run with the things that he tells us. And our lives will be better for it. Amen. It was MC Hammer who said, we've got to pray just to make it a day. Back then, he sang a song. I will never forget. We've got to pray just to make it a day. We're not praying to make it a day. Now, we are not praying to make it a day. Amen. Like in these 21 days of power, we are entering the new year already. Amen. Not be today only we define. Today, we know today already. Hallelujah. We are praying the will of the Father, the mind of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jude 1:20. He says, dearly beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, we pray the mind of the Father. Bible made us understand that the Spirit helps us. Helps us. Even when we pray in tongues, he helps us because you may not even know what you're praying, but you are praying the mind of God. You're praying the will of the Father. Hallelujah. So you can't get it wrong when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, it's okay to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've never prayed in the Holy Ghost before, do it more this time. Especially when you're alone. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Because as you're praying the mind of Christ. You're praying. You're reaching out to. Someone could be praying here. You're praying the Holy Ghost. And you are solving the problem in the Northeast. Hallelujah. Yes. You're praying the mind of the Father. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Let's see that. Ephesians 4, 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So in this season, let no gutter talk. No gutter talk come out of your mouth. Watch your mouth, because that mouth is a special piece communicating with God. Hallelujah. You can't use it for what is good and not use it for what is bad. Let no gutter talk proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word, let no evil communication come out of there. But what is good for necessary edification. Hallelujah. That it may impart grace to the hearers. Hallelujah. That it may impact grace. So, even in this season, you're going, only opening your mouth, bless you. You just see what happens to that life. Somebody just expresses joy because you say, God bless you. You are a carrier of God's power. You are a carrier of God's anointing. And the words that come out of you, it's like you are an oracle. The words that come out of you, they are powerful. Bible says they are effective. They are powerful. They are not mere words. They are not mere words. And that's why in this season, it's not the time to say, after you have prayed and you say, God, thank you for this provision. And then you go back, they say, ah, what about that thing? You say, ah, now, wow, you are countering. You are scattering what you are already building. So watch what comes out of your mouth. It's a time to speak forth in accordance, in the same direction, in alignment with that which you have prayed. Whatever you have prayed, when you come and declare it, Lord, I thank you that I have this. If you have prayed for somebody who is sick, when they ask, I be, is well. Amen. The person has recovered. The person is made whole. That's what you declare. And not go back and say, he's still dead there, Sha. You are undoing what you have done. Amen. Because when Jesus prayed, when Jesus declared words over that fig tree, he didn't think twice. He didn't go back to check. It was the people who said, ah, Master, see. So when you say a thing, leave it there. If you will speak anything concerning it, speak in the affirmative that it has been done. Hallelujah. And you will see what you have declared in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 said, we are peculiar.